We'll talk about the Nevuas Moshe a little bit. In this parasha we have that Aaron and Miriam spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu, and the title of them was that they equated Moshe Rabbeinu to other Nevi'im. And the Bershom responded by saying that that's incorrect, and it was considered Lashon Hara because they should have spoken to Moshe Rabbeinu first before discussing it amongst themselves. Even they should have tried to clarify why he did what he did, etc. But the pasuk makes a very strong stress of that Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah in many ways is different and unique. So Rambam takes this and makes this into one of his Yud Gimel Ikrim, which we've elevated to besides it's part of what we believe, part of the Torah, but it's a primary part of the beliefs of the Torah. And the Chaim Brisker says that the definition of what makes something an ikr, in the Yud Gimel Ikrim, is something that without it, our amuna would not be able to stand. So if I did not see Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah as being unique, so then our amuna in the Torah would not be able to stand. Means that some other nevi could come and abrogate it, so the foundation of our amuna in the Torah would fall apart. Okay, but the Rambam seems to add some interesting things over here. So let's see, this is the language of the Rambam. The place where the Rambam really develops his idea of the Yud Gimel Ikrim is his introduction to the last parak of Sanhedrin, Parak Chelek, which the Mishnah talks about, Koyso Yeshu Pechek Lavan Bo, and these who don't have a Chelek Lavan Bo, the people have different reasons why they lose their portion of the world to come. One of them is based on the inappropriate beliefs. So there the Rambam says, okay, well, let's talk about Yud Gimel Ikrim. That's what the Rambam says. So Yesod HaShvi is the Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu Lava Shalom. The seventh Yesod is that we have to believe about Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu, who Shanam and Kihu, Avim Shekol Nevi'im. Moshe Rabbeinu is the father of all Nevi'im. Mishar Hayu Lefonov, Mishar Komo Acharov, those before him, the Ovis, Rami Tzvi Yaakov, and Adam, Noach, these people who were Nevi'im. Moshe Rabbeinu is an av to them. Moshe come after them, all the beings which are going to come after Moshe Rabbeinu as well. Kulam mehem tachta b'malu, they all are beneath Moshe in their madrega of nevuah. Okay, so far so good. Now the Rambam adds another layer over here. V'hu oya hanivkar mikol min ha'adam, he was the most perfect specimen of all of mankind. So that he reached a level of understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which no other human being before or afterwards will ever reach. He went up in Madrega to the point he came more like a malach than a man. He reached the level of angels. There was no barrier which he did not pull apart and pass through. He had no physical impediments which prevented him from understanding something. He had no elements of lacking at any level. What?
Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty understanding
certain. Okay, it's a fair question. He became basically a the Rambam's usage. The world of Dimyon is the body is creating misunderstandings, and Seichel is the pure concept of Seichel of understanding something. Moshe Rabbeinu reached that Madrega. That's what the Chazal say, that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Kadosh Baruch Hu straight. He did not need a malach to give him the nevuah. Okay, so that's the Rambam. So Rambam over here adds, above and beyond the understanding that Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was of the highest level, but Moshe Rabbeinu himself as a person was of the highest level. The question is, why is that an ikar? Why is it so important that I should know that? Right, let's say I would come along and say, I believe that Avraham Avinu was a higher level of a human being than Moshe Rabbeinu. But I agree that Moshe Rabbeinu's level was higher than Avraham. So therefore, you can't abrogate the Torah because the highest level was Moshe. No, I'm not be cursed, and the Chalikam Habra, because I didn't believe in Moshe Rabbeinu being unique and special. That's what Rambam was saying. The Shaul is, why is that? Now, that's an Iker, part of the Iker foundation of the Torah is this belief about Moshe Rabbeinu's unique stature as a human being. Okay, then the Rambam then goes through and says the 4 points of how he sees Moshe Rabbeinu's was being unique, different than all of the other Nevi'im. So the first thing he says that Moshe did not speak to him through an emsoi, through any type of intermediary, but rather it was Moshe spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu directly. Okay, and you know, Sheni, every Nabi, the Nabi would come, he was in a state where his body was not fully aware. The body could not... he could not, the physical reality of his body would prevent him from receiving the level of Nevuah when the body's kochos were awake. The person had to go into a state of sleep. Moshe Rabbeinu was not like that. The Inyan HaShlishi is that when the Nevuah would come, it would create a tremendous reaction in the person. If all of his bodily functions would weaken. He would have a tremendous fear, and he almost would die from the experience. And he brings Sukkim to talk about that type of support. That Moshe Rabbeinu, support the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kasher the Yerei Yisrael, just like they're having a conversation without, he wasn't overwhelmed by it. And the Yerevi was that all the Nevi'im could not get the Nevuah when they wanted. It was up to Kadosh Baruch Hu to decide when to give them or not. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu could basically, when he, Chol Esh Yirtzah, he could say, I want to speak to Hashem, Hashem would speak to him. So that's the 4 elements of the Rambam sees as Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, which is unique. Okay. So that's the Rambam. Let's see, did I do this right? I did. So the first piece over here, he quotes the Rambam. And this is the language we saw the language of the Rambam in his introduction to Pirush Mishnayos, in the introduction to the chapter of Perek Chelek in Sanhedrin. The Rambam in Yesod HaTorah goes through this again and talks about the 4 elements over here. So we saw that already. Fine. Now, the next piece is from the Ram. So the Ram, in his Sefer Drushas Ram, has 2 drushas which touch on the elements of Nevuas Moshe and how Nevuas Moshe was significant and unique. Now, so the Ram grapples with the following question. On the Avar Kan Shelachas, I have a question. So, Moshe Rabbeinu was pure Shemanisha. Good. Right? Aaron and Miriam did not separate from their spouses. And they were bothered by the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu, as it were, in their mind, seemed to think that he was of a state of being that he had needed to separate from his wife, when they, as Nevi'im, knew that that's not true. So what's the answer? That Moshe Rabbeinu gets the wood at any moment, and therefore he cannot be with his wife because he needs to be able to be available at any moment, whereas all of the Nevi'im don't have that reality, that they get a Nevuah at any moment, and therefore they could live a regular life, and then at the appropriate times they will be able to be available for Nevuah. That's the answer. So instead we get this, Moshe says in the Moshe is different, it's Mar Haldabar Boy, so we give this whole drasha, you know, like the Russia gives this whole major answer. Just as simply, he gets the Mubachalais, and they don't get the Mubachalais, and the conversation, like, why are we getting so dramatic? And the Psukim make it much more dramatic than that. That's his question.
Did the Nevi'im know when they would get the Nevuah? Was it like scheduled, or?
It wasn't scheduled, but there were elements of A, they had to prepare themselves for it. They were not always in a state of full preparation. They had to prepare themselves for it. And whenever they were not prepared for it, they wouldn't get. So that's one element which seems to be the defining element. And when they were not ready, the Rishon wouldn't give it to them. So if they were not, if they were Tomei, they wouldn't get it. Okay. One of the points Rama says is this constant state of readiness or not. That explains why Moshe Rabbeinu had to be Parsh Menisha. That's what Moshe should say. Right? You want to explain why that which you questioned Moshe Rabbeinu about was correct. What he did was not incorrect like you thought, but correct. It's because of the X. Shaskula so Milo should omar posexet. Brahma Pal Pal Dabraboy, Marbalochidus, Shem Yabit, Omim Hey Milos and Moshe Moshe, Lunasinus Tam Lamasha Dibraboy. Yes, there are unique elements of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nebuah, but they're not answering the question. So why was it important to answer to them all of these other elements? That's his question. Okay. So Chuba Bezet is Shoshes School of Atzah Shemarno. Who Shemar Shahayim Mukhlan Neviu Uva Bchaleis. Kradiyam Hashem Yisbarach was our pasuk. B'Yosher Shleim is Shef Shoshiya B'Yadias Esedah. There's two ways of knowing something. And they got it in the better way of knowing something. V'hu she yidia b'davar tiyal shneim upon him echum neham yidia b'mitzius adavar sheni she yidia b'mitzius or b'sibas mitzius. Knowing a fact and knowing why are two different levels of experiencing knowledge. Mitzav kasher yivada hadavar b'sibosov tiyal yidia b'yosher chazaka mishivada mitzius levat. Giving you facts is nowhere near as clear of understanding and having the knowledge truly as when you understand why. They would know Moshe Rabbeinu was different. He always gets the word right. But they don't know why. They don't understand how does that work. Okay, so then he's going to explain. So the three other elements about Moshe Rabbeinu's unique nevuah all explain why, after that's true, the Moshe Rabbeinu was able to have nevuah b'choleis, and other men were not able to. That's what his thought process is. So after, if the goal is that they should understand, he was Parsh Menisha because he needs to be available for nevuah b'choleis. The reason why he was available for nevuah b'choleis is because he had these other elements in his nevuah. And that is why he was available b'choleis. That's his bottom line answer, and then he's going to flesh that out. Why that's so. So I just want to go off onto the tangential issue on this idea a little bit. I think I told you the story with the Reshiva and his Rebbe, the Reshiva the Grai, Rami Tzabloch, about reading the book about physics, the physics book. Yeah, I got the story.
Okay.
What?
The Arizal,
the
physics?
No, it's a different story. So Shiva told us a story like this. If you remember the story, stop me. That there was a priest in Telz, Lithuania, who had been in America for a period of time. In Chicago, he had a parish in Chicago, and he learned English. And then he went back to Lithuania, and he was afraid about losing his command of the English language because if you don't use it, you forget it. So he wanted to practice. But most people in the city of Telsai, Lithuania, did not speak English, except for the four or five American bachrim, and that was it. So lunchtime, as the Rashiva said, they used to a lot of times the bachrim would go for walks together, and they would talk of learning, etc. But they would go for a walk just to get out and get air and exercise, etc. So the priest copped that the Bachram were going for walks. So he used to sort of wait in ambush to catch the American Bachram and shmooze them in English a little bit. So the Shiva developed a relationship a little bit with this Galach. So he borrowed a physics book from the Galach. And he was reading it. So a little while later, he was walking with his Rosh Hashiva, and he mentioned that he borrowed this physics book from the Galach, and he was reading it. And so the Rishiva asked him, her gifter, like his the Gerai, Rabbi Yitzchak Bloch, asked the gifter, like, what are you reading about? So he's reading about gravity. You know, the section about gravity. So you heard the story before. Okay.
Rabbi Bloch learned in Tales in Lithuania?
Rigifter learned in Tells from 1933
to
1938.
In Lithuania. But he was born in America.
He was born in America. And he was born in Portsmouth, Virginia. He moved at a young age to the city of Baltimore, and then he eventually went off, I'm going to say at the age of 15, he went off to the Yeshiva Ritzel Chochanan, which is now known as YU, but in those days it wasn't Yeshiva, it was just Ritzel Chochanan. And he learned there for 3 years under Moshe Soloveitchik, who was Rabbi Yosher Soloveitchik's father, and he was the brother of the Brisker, of the son of Reb Chaim Brisker. After 3 years, he left. He went to learn in Europe for 5 years. So he was in Europe from the years of 33 to 38. He was 18 years old when he went, and he was 23 when he came back. So during those 5 years that he was there, he didn't come home. He was there for 5 years straight. So, see, he was, his Rosh Yeshiva, Rebbe Meir Bloch, was the youngest brother. The older brother was Rabbi Yitzchak Bloch, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Tells in Europe. That was Rigifter's Rosh Yeshiva. So the Rabbi Yitzchak Bloch asked Rigifter, what's he reading about? He's reading about gravity. Good. So Rabbi Yitzchak Bloch said to him, he says, imagine Einstein had sat there and contemplated the fact that apples fall. And he said, the first law of physics is that apples fall. That'd be a true statement. Right? Apples fall. Never said apples fly upwards, right? But they wouldn't have made them into the history books, right? Why do you make it in the history books? Because he was able to isolate why apples fall. And there must be a force called gravity. And the logic is that two bodies pull towards each other. And that once that's true, so I can then apply it to the motion of the planets. And I can theorize, if I see that one of the planets is moving in an erratic fashion, there must be that there's another body which is exerting an influence. We can predict Neptune, and we can figure out where it's supposed to be, and then we can look for it and find it, right? So by understanding why something is true, you have a much different understanding than just knowing what. So then the Rabbi Yitzchak Bloch said to a gifter, says, imagine a person learns Yeridaya, right? And he memorizes every single halacha in Yeridaya. So let's say he knows 10,000. We'll say he knows 100,000 halachas. So he can put a pass in Shalos. He says no, he can't, because there's a million possible cases. But he understands why he can pass in, you know, millions of cases, right? Because he understands why. So the goal of learning is not just to understand what; it's to understand why that what is true. So that was the point that Rabbi Yitzchak Bloch was using the story to bring out. So the point that the Ron is saying is that understanding the why is a whole different experience than understanding the what. So he says, okay, so what's the connection? And he starts talking about that Nevuah is a process of... Where is that page? Right. Nevuah is the process of interacting with the world of the mind, of the seichel, and the body in general is going to be some type of limitation to that. So for that... to be able to have a Navi which is going to be able to connect to this concept with the limitation of the body, so he's going to need a vehicle to allow him to do that. He's going to need the Malach in between. He's going to all of the elements which you said before, that the body would be Yirei and Nivol and Mismargeg, it would fall apart, and and Moshe Rabbeinu was awake and they were asleep, right? All of those are indications that these individuals' bodies function as an impediment to the Nevuah. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu was able to be awake, he did not, the body functions did not start to fall apart due to the that. And he did not need a malach, indicated that his body was of a level of purity that the body did not act as any type of impediment to receiving the nevuah. And therefore, the fact that he was able to get the nevuah b'chol eis was just as simple because the body wasn't a stira. Whereas the average individual, the body acts as some type of a stira to the nevuah. So therefore, his times being available for nevuah were limited when the moments when he could get the body to be move his body up to a high level of purity, because the body is intrinsically for him a problem. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu, the body was not a problem at all. So he was always available for nevuah because his body was on such a level. So male, you understand why Prisha from Anisha made such a logical sense for Moshe Rabbeinu. It wasn't just because he was available, because that all that gives you a picture of understanding how much Rabbeinu's bodily function was different than everybody else's. So it needed, for him, Prisha Minisha was the most logical next step. That's how he understands the piece. I'm going to do the whole thing inside. But so it comes out, we really have a clue to what the Rambam was saying. When the Rambam saw understanding Moshe Rabbeinu as a unique individual, as a person being a unique individual, is a intrinsic part of our belief in his unique nevuah. Because the point of the Ran is that an individual whose body is not perfect, does not meet the high, will by definition not have these elements of such a nevuah. So whereas a person who does, in other words, I cannot say in the same breath, well, he has this unique nevuah, but his body is like everybody else's. That's not true, because that cannot exist. The second side of the coin of saying his nevuah is A, B, C, D means his body is X, Y, Z. You cannot. So if I don't believe that his body was unique, it means I'm not really believing that his nevuah was unique. That's really going to come out what the Ran is saying. Okay.
Was Moshe Rabbeinu? Did he have? I guess that level of goof that he had, was that even before he was parish from his wife?
Procedurally, Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah, some of the Rishonim assume that it really took two stages. When Moshe Rabbeinu was being a Navi in Mitzrayim, his nevuah was along the lines of regular nevuah of other Navi'im. As Moshe Rabbeinu was moved to become the Navi, which is going to be the vehicle to give Torah, his Madrega of nevuah was upgraded. And the Haftacha B'gamachoyah Minu La'olam, which means that Moshe Rabbeinu, as it were, is purified to the point, the Meshech Chachma says that when you say Gamachoyah Minu La'olam, which is in Parshat Yisrael, how is that possible? He has Bechira. So how can we? Every human being has bechira. So Moshe Rabbeinu can go off the derech also, right? So how can Moshe promise Gamachayim in Olam? Says the answer is that Moshe Rabbeinu lost bechira, which means and the Meshech Chacham says that now doesn't mean he still had the bechira by Chet Meimariva. He still had the bechira of Chet over there, but there was a madrega which he could not go beneath. Whereas any human being, you know, the greatest person in the world can. Do an Aveira and go all the way down. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't. At that moment, the Begamecha Yeminu Lo'olam, and the Bereshit told El of Klai Yisrael, go back to your tents, you stay with me. At that point, Moshe Rabbeinu was put into another state of existence. The Rambam has interesting Lashon. The Rambam has interesting Lashon in the beginning of Hilchos Avodas Kechavim. So the Rambam gives a history of mankind, of mankind's grappling with the relationship between man and God. In the first parak of Hilchos Avodas Kechavim, and at the end, he talks about, you know, Bereshit created Adam knew Kadosh Baruch Hu, then eventually Enosh started doing Avodah Zarah. The whole generation eventually accepted such a concept that the Avraham Avinu said that was not correct, and he goes through all the different steps. At the end, he says, as part of the promise to fulfill that which he promised, it's a part of the Rishon's efforts to fulfill the promise he gave to Avraham Avinu. Also, Asa Moshe b'shlocha. He made Moshe and he sent him. So he made Moshe. Means he made Moshe as a unique individual. And Moshe Rabbeinu was put intrinsically in his DNA a makeup which would allow him to become this individual. He didn't have to do that. He still had Bechira up to that point. But he was given a set of tools and potential which allowed him to be that way beyond where somebody else is going to reach. So the Rambam sees Moshe Rabbeinu as a special asiyah, because Moshe Rabbeinu had to make him special and send him as a shliach to take guys out of Mitzrayim and give the Torah, etc. That's what the Rambam says. Fascinating lesson of the Rambam. Okay. For the sake of brevity, I'm not going to read this inside. So this is a piece from Moshe Shapiro Zichlu Bracha. He has a sefer on the Yud Gimel Ikrim. And he talks about that the Moshe Rabbeinu was the Avim Shekol of Lashon, the Rambam's Lashon. He was the Avi of all of the Nevi'im. I mean, that's interesting Lashon. What you want to say really is Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was beyond everybody else's Nevuah. It was unique Nevuah. So therefore, if the goal over here is understand solely that the Torah cannot be abrogated, because it doesn't make any sense you can abrogate something if the person who was the vehicle giving Torah was on a level beyond any person will ever reach. So of course nobody can abrogate it. So this the immutability of the Torah and the eternity, the eternal element of existence of the Torah is based on that. So you don't have to call him the father of all of the Nevi'im. He was the greatest of all of the Nevi'im. All right, what's the language of Avi? He is the father of all the Nevi'im. The Rambam uses that Lashon in the Yesod, and he also uses a similar Lashon in the Yesod HaTorah also. So he suggests the following. He builds this idea that what was the purpose of the Nevuah? Beyond the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, what's the purpose of the Nevuah? Now, the Nevuah was not to give Torah, because the halacha is that all of them are not allowed to give Torah. Right? The Nabi, the Mor says in Megillah, that the Nabi is not permitted to be mechadish anything new. Anything which the Nabi is telling us, which is a new gili of Torah, the Gemara says it really was halacha Moshe B'Sinai. The Navi mentions it, so now we know where we became aware that there was such a halacha Moshe B'Sinai. But they cannot be mechadish anything new. So they're not here for Torah purposes. So what's the Navi's purpose? So there's a Gemara, which is the Muram, the Gemara says that there was many Nevi'im. The Nevuah which we have, which is recorded, the record is of the seven Nevi'os and 48 Nevi'im, and none of them had the impact of Kol Yisrael of doing tshuva like the Saras Tabas. When Achashverosh gave the signet ring to Haman, he did a much better job of making Kol Yisrael do tshuva than all the Nevi'im and Nevi'os. So he says what the war is really saying, under the surface, the war is saying that the purpose of the Nevi'im is we should do tshuva. But they were not as effective as we would like them to be. So the purpose of the Navi is to do tshuva and to give techocha. So if you think about both of those ideas, techocha and tshuva, techocha really is rooted in the concept of proof. Hachia, to prove something. So the concept that I give a person, when I rebuke somebody, what I'm saying is, well, you know, this is what's expected of you. This is what you're doing, which is incorrect, and you need to change. Right? The word tshuva means let's go back to. But both of them start with there's a given which I need to measure you against, and you have to go back to that, and I can point out to you how you're not meeting up to that measure. But if there's no measure, you can't discuss tekach or tshuva. There's no foundation to start with. You can't discuss. I can't discuss a rebuke, which means I'm going to prove to you. It's lashon hakach. I'm going to reprove you, right? There's even such a word, right? Which means to give the person mussar. Well, its point is, hey, this is what is expected of you, and you're not living up to that. Well, why is it expected of you? Who said? So there has to be a Torah as the vehicle for giving me a definition of what is expected of me, which is a hurrah, it's a directive of right and wrong, and then I can discuss, well, by the way, you know, you're not living up to the directive of the Torah. But do tshuva back to the directive of the Torah. So the Rambam says that that Moshe Rabbeinu, by definition, is the Av. He's the source of all of the Nevuah, in the sense without if the purpose of the Nevuah is to give Klal Yisrael the understanding of what they're supposed to be doing, in the sense of not telling them what to do, but making sure that they're doing it, that's impossible until you have Torah, which tells you what that is. So Moshe Rabbeinu ends up being the Av of all of the Nevi'im. That's the point that he said. It's a very beautiful thought. He says, there are Nevuahs which talk about the beautiful future of Klal Yisrael. They don't tell like the Toma Techocha and rebuke, etc. We find such Nevuahs. He says, even those Nevuahs, let me just read the line over here. Call them Tzibu al Tshuva, and you suddenly go al Tshuva. Karepticha, Teresh, Vesav Yisrael, Nasas Tshuva, Vesav Kalusan, and Miyad Hem Nigol. So Nevi'im, the goal is to make Shekla Yisrael does Tshuva. Lashon Zeh Kol Nevi'im Kulam means even Yeshaya, which you know had tremendous beautiful Nevuahs of Gula, his purpose really was Tshuva. He brings the Gemara over there, Megillah. Then he says, "Chen Yeshaya Hochiach is Yisrael, but Chen Tivoh Kel Hochiach Lechatoyim." Now that pasuk, Krabagron Tachsoich, is talking about the Nevuah of the Gula. And the Rambam brings that as a source that Yeshaya was Hachiechus Yisrael. Right? So it means that Yeshaya is a message of Yeshaya's message was a message of Geula in the context of this is what you're supposed to be. And yes, you will get there. So let's do it. Right? But that was Yeshaya's function. So that by definition needs to have a foundation to it, and that's the point that he says over here. Okay. That's that. No, I'll just, it's getting late over here. I just want to put this piece from Revolve a little bit. So Ali Shur comes from a different angle totally. He talks about discussing the unique stature of Moshe Rabbeinu. The end of the day, Moshe Rabbeinu was a human being who made tremendous efforts. It brought himself to this madriga. Yes, he was blessed with unique abilities, but it was still a human being with Bechira, reaching madrigas, which a human being was reached. So, I'm not going to go through but the fact that Rambam makes a stress that we have to see Moshe Rabbeinu as a unique individual, right? And the Midrashim would talk about the madriga of Kedusha and accomplishment that Moshe Rabbeinu accomplished, etc. What's the message to us? Right? So we have two choices to look at the message. The message is, there was this wonderful guy named Moshe Rabbeinu, and wow, he's so great, Right? It was nothing with me. Or that's a message to me as a human being that maybe I'm underestimating my abilities. Human beings can reach quite high levels. So as part of the challenge which we have in the world was not so much the diminishing of God, but the diminishing of man. And that's probably true once upon a time. It's even much, much more true nowadays. Right? And he develops this idea earlier that he bases on Psukim and Yeshaya. Based on Psukim and Yeshaya, I think it is. Which Psukim talk about the idea of that man has been diminished. And even more so, when we talk about Mashiach, Rambam also, when we talk about Mashiach, talks about believing in Mashiach. Mashiach was a unique individual. Not just enough that he's going to bring Begal Klal Yisrael and bring cause Klal Yisrael to Tshuva and rebuild the Beis Hamikdash, etc. But we have to believe that Mashiach is a unique individual. Why is that? Because if the purpose of Geula is not just to reestablish our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but let us become the human beings we're supposed to become and then have the relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So if I want to get that message across to you that's possible. If I want to make a yeshiva and produce tremendous young men, so I'm going to do two things. I'm going to create a program which I believe will the rules and the Seder and everything like that, which I believe will produce special people. And I'm going to get role models for them to look at to see that you can accomplish that. That's Mashiach. That's the thing, the understanding of Mashiach. Mashiach is not just he's going to come and do all these different things, and we'll now have this wonderful reality. He's going to show you that you could do that. So Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rebbe was saying, Moshe Rabbeinu was part of Moshe Rabbeinu's function to Klal Yisrael. Think about, you know, we have a moon in Moshe Rabbeinu. How did Klal Yisrael in that generation see Moshe Rabbeinu? What do they see in Moshe Rabbeinu? Here's an individual who lived the same time as them, right? Who could have lived in the lap of luxury and done whatever he wanted, and chose to become connected to his people, cared about them to the point of being Moshe Nefesh for that. He went out to live in some Chazal. He became a king in the country. And again, instead of taking advantage of that, he made his focus to care of other people to the point that he became a tremendous onov. And he, right, look what the man accomplished. So you could do it too. And yes, I'm going to take you out of Mitzrayim and give you the Torah, and I'm going to allow you to have this relationship with me. But I want you to understand, don't underestimate what a human being can be. And I want you to be that human being as well. So therefore, you can have the relationship with me the same way he has a relationship with me. You can have a relationship with me as well. So that is Moshe Rabbeinu's function, Revolver looks at. So the fascinating, another element. Okay, that's those pages over there. It's worthwhile to okay. I just want to tell you very quickly a piece from the Merle Diskin. It's really on a different angle. Okay, let's see how quickly we can say this. And then I'll use other pieces. There's some morales over here, passing pieces, etc. Okay, the Gemara in the Gemara Basra at the end of the first paragraph, the Gemara goes through more of some of the halachas of divisions between partners and between Yerushas, etc. So one of the things that discusses divisions of a chatzar, discusses divisions of a person. Two people, a father owns a Tanakh. And he dies, and now his two sons get the Yerusha of the Tanakh. So how you divide a Tanakh? So what do you do over there? So in that conversation of how would you divide Sifrei Kurdish, it also discusses, let's talk about Sifrei Kurdish, and that's where the discussion of many of the understanding about Sifrei Kurdish is a discussion about Bash on the first parent. Right? Go figure. Go pick, you know, go guess where it's going to be discussed. So there the Mora says, that goes through the Chabdal Tzvarim, who wrote them? It tells us that Sefer Shreftim was written by Shmuel Navi. Right? We didn't know that, otherwise we wouldn't know that Shmuel Navi was the one who, at the end of the Tkufa of Shreftim, right, it ends with, then it moves to Eliyahu Kain, and then it moves to Shmuel as the first Tkufa of Nevi'im. Shmuel was the one who wrote down Sefer Shreftim. So the Mora says that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote three things. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Sifro, Taras Moshe. He wrote Iyuv. According to one opinion, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who wrote Iyuv. And he wrote something called Parshas Bilam. So the obvious question is, what's Parshas Bilam? And it's part of Sifrei. The section of Bilam is part of Taras Moshe. So why is the Mora single that out? He wrote his book, Taras Moshe. He wrote Parshas Bilam, and he wrote Sefer Iyuv. So the Ritva comes along and says, you know what, you're right, it's a good question. Parshas Bilam must be something else. It's not part of Tanakh. So that's very difficult to understand the Gemara. Because the Gemara says this is the klolim about Tanakh, and this only thing, and it mentions something which is not part of the Tanakh. It's part of the Hagiographa. Like, what doesn't make any sense? Okay, so that's one problem. So Rashi grapples with what exactly that means. The Ritva says it's referring to Parsha Cheres Ksuba Misi Peribilam Adoichaku. The Mor is not talking about Kisvei Kodesh right now. Okay, the Gimel, he says, come to Moshe, but in Umos Elam there is nobody like Moshe Rabbeinu. How in the world can you picture Bilam being something like Moshe Rabbeinu? How do we understand the words? Number four, what was Bilam's even having a possible thought of being able to encounter Klai? So when Moshe said he wants to move over Klai, what was his plan? And number five, what's Asmaklar Yamira? The Mor says that the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu's Nebuah and other Nebuahs, Moshe Rabbeinu's Nebuah was Asmaklar Yamira. Everybody else's Nebuah was not Asmaklar Yamira. Number six.
What was that?
Asmaklar Yamira.
What's that mean?
A pure
Asmaklaria. Lens.
Well, we'll have to say how you translate it. The sixth question is, there's a concept in Lachas that a Nabi, when Nabi has a Nabuah, Lara, that Nabuah can be retracted. Whereas a statement through the Urim Tumim cannot be retracted. So why the Nabuah can be retracted and the Urim Tumim can't be retracted? How would you understand that? So he says, if you look at the Rambam, and we talk about Nebuah, the Rambam says that all Nebuahs, except for Moshe Rabbeinu, all Nebuahs came through a vision, and the Nabi would see this vision, and in Umayyad Yechokik Benavshay Pisran, immediately he would understand that his nefesh, what it means. So the nefesh of the Nabi played a role. Now, the nefesh of the Nabi was quite pure, because he was a Nabi, but it wasn't perfectly pure. He wasn't perfect. So he suggests the following, that Pshat is that, you know, just like if you look through the world at, with rose-colored glasses, you see the world rose-colored, right? So, and you see the world, you look through the world with clear glasses, you see the world clearly. So each Navi saw the Nebuah through his neshama, the purity of the love of the neshama will affect what he's going to see. Now, Rashi obviously took that into consideration, right? But the Navi would see it through his own being. That's why the Mor says that no two Nevi'im can ever use the same language. Because each Nevi is going to see it in some way through his being. So it's going to be different. That's why he says it's possible that there's a concept of retracting, because there is a human element in the Nevuah. Urban Tumah works in a whole different process. So this is Bilam's Havamin. Bilam says, I know that's how Nevuah works. Well, my Neshama is black. It's black. You can say the most wonderful Nevuah, the Minor Shema, comes out black. Mm-hmm. That was Bilam's plan. So Russia's going to give him the Nevuah, good Rakai, so it goes to Bilam's Neshama, it's going to come out black. So what did the Russian do? The Russian gave Bilam a Nevuah, which was given not through the same vehicle, through his Neshama. It was given through him in a totally different way. So Bilam saw a Nevuah straight without any human input. There's only one of the Nabi who saw a Nevuah straight without any human input. It's Moshe, because Moshe Rabbeinu's Neshama was so pure, there was no human input. Bilam was so black that he had to be given a Nevuah in a different way, and that Nevuah different had no human input. So in that sense, Bilam and Moshe are the same. They both have no human input. Moshe Rabbeinu because of his purity, and Bilam because he got a special Nevuah in order to prevent him from having human input. Because it would have been horrible if he had a human input. So it comes out, Zakhtar Merel Diskin, that when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down every Nevuah in the Torah, the Nevuah given to Avraham Avinu, the Nevuah given to Yaakov, and Moshe Rabbeinu was writing it. Moshe Rabbeinu saw in that Nevuah a purity of understanding which Avraham himself didn't see. Right? So it comes out when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Nevuah of Avraham, he's not writing it as a secretary, as a scribe, he's writing it as his level of understanding. There's only one part of the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu was just writing as a scribe. That's Parshas Bilam. Because it already was given with a full purity of understanding to Bilam. Because Bilam saw without any human input. He saw with a pure, perfect view of it. Moshe Rabbeinu was just writing down what Bilam saw. So that you cannot call that section of the Torah Sefer Moshe, Torah's Moshe. This is Torah's Bilam. So Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Sifrei and Parshas Bilam. That's shot in the Gemara.
That's
beautiful piece. You know, also, I mean, the moral discipline is like, you know, just to put it together. So he says he wrote this as a.
That's very nice.
They had a Sima Torah and Sima Tafre Shud Beis, and he said a shot in this Gemara as an honor of the Sima of finishing Shas, etc. So he said this point of. Okay, we'll leave you with that.